What's going on, everyone? And thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast of the Remote Control. Yeah, I guess that's what it's called. This is a podcast where a couple of nerds geek out about movies, TV, video games, music, and more. What was that?
Jesus Christ, Vietnam's happening on our guest line.
I think that was my volume on my headphones. I went to go turn it up. Sorry. God,
the bombs are dropping. I just see her black and white, and I see some grainy film video, and fucking bombs are happening. And just Rachel's in the background.
I'm sorry. You know,
we're not redoing this intro.
No,
this is fucking.
So on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the CW Arrowverse and the premieres of all the shows last week. Unfortunately, we're also going to say goodbye to one of my favorite shows and probably one of the most underrated shows of the past 4 years, *Halt and Catch Fire*.
It's so.
Then we're going to check out some trailers. We're going to check out some trailers for Black Panther, for New Mutants. We're also going to go to a galaxy far, far away with the new trailer for The Last Jedi, and finally, we're going to get into the heart of this episode. And it's simply just one question. Is comic book source material really that important when it comes to film adaptations? And that's going to be our main point of the show here. Now, with me today, now I'm Robert Slavinsky. And with me today, as always, is Mr. Finger Guns himself, Colton Bird.
You're coming out the finger gun, yo bitch.
And then we have a special guest with us, Rachel Kasparek.
Oh, that was a bad idea.
What?
Sorry, no, I put reds in my screwdriver. It was a bad idea.
Before we really get started and everything, I do want to remind everyone that you can find us on our website at www.theremotecontrol.com. That's theremote, CNTRL.com. You can also find us on almost all podcast platforms. So iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play Music, all that kind of stuff. You can find us. You can subscribe to us and find us on YouTube. We're doing some cool things with YouTube. We had a live show last week for the Star Wars trailer,
which was a lot of fun. Turnout.
And we had a big turnout watching us and interacting with us, which was a lot of fun. You can also find us on Facebook, which is very important in our next thing we're going to talk about here. You can find us on Facebook and our Facebook group. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Remote Control. That's at The Remote, CONTRL. All of that will be in the description to find us there. Now, one last thing before we start getting into TV shows and stuff like that. Colton, I hear you have some fun news for everyone that tunes in. So what's going on?
Well, everybody hold on to your panties because we're going in.
Hold on to your butts.
Starting this week and leading up to November 12th, we'll be having a contest to give away a Superman pop figure from the upcoming Justice League movie. The rules are simple. All you have to do is subscribe and leave a review on our show on either iTunes or Podbean, as well as joining the Facebook group. Link will be in the description. Then on November 14th, on our November 14th podcast, we will randomly select someone from the entries and announce a winner of our show. We hope to see you all enter the chance for a chance to win.
All right, guys, this is really cool. This is our first giveaway we're doing. And the whole idea behind this is we want to get more recognition on iTunes and Podbean and in the podcast community. So that's why, we ask for you to subscribe. Two, we ask for you to leave a review of the show. Just leave us a review, whether you like it or hate it, leave a review. You'll be entered in for the chance to win, as well as join our Facebook group. We will be looking at as much of that as we possibly can. If you leave a review,
the bombs are falling again.
We're going to look for you.
I'm sorry.
So once we find you on our Facebook group and everything like that, you will be entered in to win that. And I know some people have different iTunes names than they do Facebook names. So wherever you join the Facebook group, just, you know, say a hello message, say, hey, subscribe to your channel, left a review on iTunes or on Podbean, and leave your name that you left on that service. That way we know who you are. We'll then throw your name into the entries to get the awesome Justice League Superman pop figure, which I think is really cool, which I'm kind of jealous because I really, really want now, and I wish we weren't giving it away.
Yeah. Are we going to assign numbers and just do like a random number generator thing? Or
We'll probably write the names down and throw them in a hat and select them.
That's so lame. There's actually a generator online that you can do. And you can set it up to whenever they subscribe to all of the things, and you can link the Facebook, the iTunes, and everything to it. And then it randomly does it, I believe.
Okay,
how a lot of YouTubers do it when they do their giveaways.
Okay.
Well, good thing we're not YouTubers. Yeah. So, Bob,
We'll look into that.
We can do this. We can put all the names in a hat. And then pull all the names out of the hat, and the last one we pull out wins the thing.
just 1,000 subscribers. We'll be sitting here for 2 hours pulling names.
At that point, we just do it live.
Oh, geez.
That we're going to get 1,000 subscribers. But whoever is listening, I hope you do enter in. Again, it's a free pop figure, Justice League. So we're going to announce the winner the Tuesday prior to the Justice League film coming out. So a lot of fun. And then we're going to have another giveaway shortly thereafter that as well, which is real exciting, which we'll talk about at that point in time.
Because at this point in time, we don't know what it looks like. We just know what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the fun stuff of the day. TV. So last week, a whole bunch of TV came out. Again, more premieres and stuff like that.
Vizio, Samsung, Westinghouse.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Supergirl, Flash, Legends, and Arrow all had their premiere last week. Now, I know Rachel and Colton, neither of you watch these shows because you both are losers. However,
I'm busy.
However, I do say it was probably better that you did not watch these premieres because they were not very good at all. Supergirl, we saw emo Supergirl in the first episode, which I thought was really...
Is that bad, though?
It was just tough to watch. It was not a good premiere. The Flash was probably the most disappointing opener out of their, four seasons that we've had. And Legends of Tomorrow was not terrible, but it wasn't great. I wish it was a bit better. Arrow actually had the best premiere, but it also had the best finale last year, so it kind of makes sense that the premiere is just as good. I also like how they're transitioning and going to where the flashbacks used to be over the past 5 years. They changed it to where the flashbacks are now going to be over the past 5 months that we didn't see between the seasons. So I think that's kind of cool. I like that idea. The Flash, I was upset that Barry Allen came back too fast. Again, this is all spoilers if you haven't watched the shows yet.
Well, thanks a lot.
But Barry comes back from the Speed Force almost within the first 10 minutes of the show. And he's crazy Barry for a little while. He's like a beautiful mind Barry, but he makes no sense. He's just writing shit on the wall, like different things.
Oh my God, so he's me.
And it's kind of annoying. Like, I truly would have loved to have seen Wally West take on the mantle of the Flash for like 2 or 3 episodes. I think that would have been really cool to do. Now, who knows what the overarching story is going to be through the entire season, but I would have liked to have seen no Barry for a while and see the team and everybody like really have to deal with that. We didn't see that. It ended last season, ended with him walking into the Speed Force. This season pretty much starts with him walking out of the Speed Force. Well, not walking out, but he comes out of the Speed Force within 10 minutes. So we didn't get any time without Barry on the show. So we have no idea what people were feeling. I think they dropped the ball and missed an opportunity here. And I really like the guy who plays Wally West. I think he's an excellent actor. I would like to have seen him kind of take on the role of the Flash fully for the first couple episodes. That was disappointing. Like I said, Supergirl, we had emo Supergirl. It was kind of annoying, especially after all of the emo Flash stuff from last season. It's surprising that the same writers are going to go and make emo Supergirl. So what do you want to say, Colton?
So what's the intro song to her thing?
He doesn't have an intro song.
No, I meant music. That's what I meant. Score. Like the intro to this.
Yeah, but there's no like words to it.
It's I meant like so they didn't play Welcome to the Black Parade.
No. I was thinking more Hawthorne Heights.
Ohio.
My wrists and black my eyes.
Now, Legends of Tomorrow ended last season where they like crash landed in like Central City or LA or something like that in like the year 2019 or something or 2017. There were dinosaurs roaming around. Made no freaking sense. Wait,
2017?
Yeah, it was weird.
Wait, that's this year though.
Yeah, I know. It was weird.
Dinosaurs.
So yeah. If they screw something up in the past.
Oh, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It was annoying with that whole aspect of it. Well, this season opens up and it starts off right there. They're in the city, they're walking down the street, and there's a T-Rex just walking behind them. And nobody cares. They're just casually walking down the street while the Tyrannosaurus Rex is behind them. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Is he like a civil Tyrannosaurus Rex or?
No, they were chasing down people, like, eating them.
So people do exist? Like, is it like New York, but add dinosaurs?
Yeah, like with buildings and everything.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it could have been, but it wasn't.
Like, it sounds like
they're gone, and they're gone within the first minute. Like, they just get transported back to their time within the first minute. It's ridiculous, that whole aspect of it. I think they realized, oh, we screwed up at the end of last season. We got to retcon this pretty quickly this season. And they did. They fixed that pretty quickly. The whole idea of Legends this season is it looks like they're going to be the outsiders, where they're kind of there screwing shit up and fixing it at the same time. So I guess it's how they're going to go. Cause like the last couple seasons was, they had like a mission. Like they had a mission that they had to accomplish. This time it seems like, look, you guys are a bunch of screw ups, so we don't want you doing anything, but you know what? Go ahead and do things because you are a bunch of screw ups, but we may need you later. Like that's literally how this episode went. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as good as it's been in the past, especially last season. So I'm interested to see where Legends of Tomorrow goes. And then, like I said, Arrow, I felt Arrow was definitely the best of the premieres.
In your opinion, isn't Arrow like the best in your opinion?
Actually, The Flash, in my opinion, has been the best for a while. Now, last season, Arrow did top The Flash. Arrow was phenomenal.
I was going to say, I know you talk a lot about, like, you praise Arrow for
it was so good last year. It's going to be hard to top last season. And they, I think they're going to be able to do it. I'm interested to see where they take everything with what happened the past, the 5 months between the two seasons, because you have Oliver's son, his mother was killed at the final episode of last season. So he's now living with Oliver, who's Arrow, and he's trying to grasp the idea that, okay, my father, you know, his father was almost the reason that his mother died. So, you know, like he's struggling with that and trying to grasp that. And he's like a 10-year-old boy. So it's hard for him.
Yeah.
Even in the episode, there's a moment where he's waking up with nightmares and Oliver goes to talk to him and he's like, what's going on? And he's like, I'm afraid of the bad man. And Oliver's like, the bad man's gone. You know, the guy who actually killed his mother. He's like, he's gone. And he goes, no, he's not. And he goes, well, who is the bad man? And he points to his father as the bad man. And that was just like, oh, that's tough. You know, so that storyline I'm really interested in seeing, especially being a father, that kind of thing, you know, is interesting to me. Then Team Arrow, they're kind of at odds, you know, there's some different things going on and we're going to find out why they are how they are. And, you know, some of them are like have post-traumatic, you know, disorder, PTSD and stuff like that from what happened the past 5 months. So I'm interested to see where this goes. They didn't really get the overarching villain this year in this episode. So we'll see where it goes, where the Flash actually showed the Thinker, who is the big villain, the big bad of this season. They showed him at the end of the episode, which a lot of people thought he was, what the heck's his name? I can't think. Wow. Brain work.
It's all that alcohol you drank.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't have drank a whole bunch of alcohol before doing this.
I'm still drinking a lot of alcohol.
But yeah, they didn't realize that it was the Thinker and they thought he was a Superman villain and stuff like that. So kind of upsetting with that. I wish Brainiac. There we go. People thought he was Brainiac and he's not. He's the Thinker. Very different character, but just as interesting. But with that, I am planning on doing a weekly YouTube show for the CW Universe stuff. I was going to do an episode this past week, but I ran into some computer issues where some of my USB ports on my laptop just decided to not work anymore. So I couldn't do anything with it this week. So hopefully by this Friday or Saturday, I'll have a video up talking about it, just solely about those four shows specifically. And I will from time to time have guests on there as well. So look forward to that. A couple other shows that were out this week before I get into the one that really broke my heart. Gotham this week was excellent. This was actually an episode that Ben McKenzie, who plays James Gordon, wrote. Excellent episode. Have either of you actually watched Gotham?
I've seen like one or two episodes.
Yeah, I haven't seen very much of it.
Yeah, the thing with Gotham is it's gotten better each season, which is nice. This season by far is the best season so far. I think we're only four episodes in, but it is possibly the best first four episodes of all the seasons that they've had. So Ben McKenzie wrote this episode, which I thought was really impressive because I didn't think that he was a writer. I just thought he was an actor, but he did an excellent job in it. And I thought it was a really good story. So that was Gotham. If people want, you know, leave some comments, let me know if you want me to talk more about Gotham as well as the CW verse on my weekly show. I will do that, especially since it's all part of DC stuff. So I might do that. If you'd like to hear that, just let me know. All right. Here's a question. Is anybody out there in the world watching Inhumans? Anyone?
I kind of want to get around to watching it.
I've watched all the episodes so far, and oh my god, it's bad. It is bad.
Is it really that bad?
It's bad.
Like what's so bad? Is it the story, or is it like the execution of everything, or is it just bad as a whole?
The first two episodes released in IMAX about a month ago. So I gave
we covered that.
Yeah, I gave the first two episodes a shot, and after all the poor reviews that it had, I was like, you know what? I'm going in. I'm not expecting much. And I didn't think it was that bad. Those first two episodes, I were like, okay, this is your typical TV show when it comes to superheroes and stuff. Why are you on your phone while we're podcasting?
Because I'm fucking promoting, so get off my dick for starters.
Oh, God.
This hashtag.
Wait, I thought you were a refrigerator.
Whatever. Get off my electrical circuits. There's a hashtag called hashtag podcaster baby.
Oh, my God.
But the first two episodes of Inhumans weren't terrible. After that, they just get progressively worse and worse. The acting is subpar. The storyline is not interesting in the least. It's just not intriguing at all. The special effects, which aren't very many, and you would think that you would need a lot with a show like this, they just don't do anything where they need special effects. You know, so there's. It's not good. It's not the Inhumans. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a huge Inhumans fan or I've read all the comics and stuff like that. I haven't. I've read a couple comics. I've read some things on different websites and such about the Inhumans. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, portrayed Inhumans better than Inhumans has so far. And I think that's a little disappointing. So
that sounds disappointing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why they can't do anything with Inhumans to make it.
So, DC question.
DC, go for it.
Regarding the TV series, or the TV series, plural. So, if I were to start wanting to watch, you know, any of them, do they connect? Like, kind of how, like, Jessica Jones and Daredevil and that did? Or are they just their own separate little things?
Shows on CW all connect. Okay. And there's a certain way, there's a really interesting way that you have to watch the shows so they all fit together perfectly. And it's like Arrow had its first two seasons before The Flash came out. So you watch the first two seasons of Arrow, and then starting at season three of Arrow, you watch the first season of Flash with that. And then the fourth season of Arrow and the second season of The Flash, you have Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl start. You know, and that's kind of how you have to go. You have to do it a certain way because they do have crossover episodes each season where all together. So they call them the event. So like this year, they're having an event episode that's called Crisis on Earth X, which I cannot freaking wait for. We talked about it a few weeks back.
Yeah, we did.
Going to be excellent. I can't wait for it. But that's going to come out. That's around November, around Thanksgiving. I think it's right after Thanksgiving, like the beginning of December is, I think, when that comes out. But yeah, that's kind of the way to do it. Now, Gotham, unfortunately, doesn't connect with this universe, even though it is DC, but it's on a different network. So that's why it doesn't connect. But yeah, that's how it works.
Interesting.
I had a train of thought, but I forgot it.
Too much alcohol there, Colton.
Nope. Not enough.
Not enough, maybe.
Shut up, refrigerator.
So this past Saturday...
There's not enough alcohol in me.
My favorite, my current favorite TV show...
Oh, okay. I want to ask you about this, because I've never heard of it until you started talking about it.
Okay.
What is that show about?
I'll let you know. Fire?
Yes. There okay. You go.
So yeah, my favorite show, *Halt and Catch Fire*, had its series finale on Saturday. It was a two-hour finale, and I will say it was maybe one of the most satisfying series finales I've ever watched. While it hurts to say goodbye to these characters that I've really come to enjoy watching over the last 4 years, they sent everybody off in a perfect way. So, but to get to your question, what this show is about, it starts off in the early 80s during the big computer boom that happened.
Yeah.
And it starts to take place in a small company, a small computer company, where one of the characters joins and says, okay, I want to do something interesting. I want to create the first portable computer.
So, they're working on laptops.
They go to work on making the first laptop, but they just keep running into issues, Eventually, you know, as the series progresses, they then move to solely video games. You know, so then they have a whole video game thing. And then they go into broadband kind of service. And then they go into like a Google service and stuff like that. So it kind of moves through the years. Like... And it goes through the 80s through the 90s of the PC world. And computer world, and you kind of see.
Rachel, I'm gonna need you to calm down on loading your M4. I know that the Viet Cong are all around you, but like we're trying to talk here.
But the background of everything that's going on is all like fact. It's all what actually happened.
It's all
in the
based
world.
On. It's like a fictional story, but all factual.
Exactly, but you know what their characters are doing and their companies and stuff that they're doing. That's all fiction and made up for the show. But everything that's going on in the background, Microsoft and Apple and Yahoo and stuff like that, all of that is actually real. How that all happened and exactly how it went. And they're trying to be ahead of the curve on most of the things. They're like, we need to beat this company. And eventually you find out, oh crap, this company is this company. And wow, they're big now, you know, and they were just two steps away from, you know, being more successful than them. So that's kind of why it's so interesting. And not just that.
Did they ever actually win though?
Watch the show. Okay. But
is that the like the not series
only,
finale?
Not only that, no. Not only that, but these characters are just so well written. Lee Pace plays probably my favorite character on the show. He actually played in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was Ronan the Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy, but he plays this role. I just don't get why he is not a bigger star in films and TV. He is such a good actor.
Because maybe he like doesn't take the big roles?
That's kind of what it is. Yeah, from what I've read, he's very selective. Roles. He's very selective. Then you have Scoot McNairy. He actually played a role in Batman vs. Superman. He was the guy that had his legs cut off in the beginning of the film and then blew up in the courthouse.
Holy crap.
He plays one of the main roles in the show as well. And then you have some other characters, supporting characters that are excellent. I'm telling you, if you haven't watched the show, the first three seasons are on Netflix. Watch them. I'm sure within the next month or two, the final season will be on Netflix because I want to watch it again. There's only four seasons, man.
Yeah.
It was so underrated. It was on AMC, but I just don't think it was promoted well enough. You know, and I think that's why it ended already, but it's so good. So good. Anybody else want to talk about anything TV? Either of you watch anything that you want to talk about?
The only thing I watch is This Is Us currently.
How'd you like? I liked this episode, this past episode, because it had Sylvester Stallone in it.
I'm under.
Yeah, I did like that. Yes. I was pretty happy with that.
Kevin Sly in there was pretty cool, and you know he's such an awesome kind of guy in real life too. So like he got to play himself, and that's and from by all accounts, everything I've ever read, that's how he is in real life. He's just a happy guy, a nice guy, who is willing to, you know, make his fans happy. And that's kind of what this whole episode surrounded was about, how much, you know, their dad, how much of a fan their dad was of Sylvester Stallone and everything like that. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the characters' names. Do you remember the characters' names on that show?
There's Kate, Kevin, and Randall.
All right. So Kevin is the actor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's the one that like really struggles with everything that happened with his father, because it's we know his father died, but we just don't know how yet. And he really struggles with that, especially because it looks like they've been alluding to the fact that he is the last person to find out that his father was killed or died or whatever.
Yeah, I think Kate was the first one to find out, because she said that she had to tell her brother.
Yeah. So, you know, and he still can't grasp even how many years later it's been. You know, he can't grasp the fact that his father's dead. And after all of this whole episode where they talk about his dad and how important Sly was, and then Sly goes and talks to him and says, oh, your dad would be proud of you and stuff like that. And then he just has trouble acting because now he's thinking about his dad and he's struggling with it. I really like that aspect. I mean, that kind of stuff hits home for me because of my life, how I didn't grow up with a father and my dad, you know, my dad passed away when I was four. So that kind of stuff hits home for me. And I completely get it, but this show, I really, really like the show. I just wish they didn't try to make you cry every single episode.
I know. I'm always like, oh God, I can't handle it. Just stop, please.
Yeah, but I do. I love the show, and you know, Rachel, if you can come on anytime and talk about This Is Us with me, because
I will.
I don't understand the show.
Oh, it's so good. You have to, you really have to watch it. Like the first season just.
Yeah, the first season
again.
Excellent, but I don't want to tell you what it's about because it gives away an awesome twist that the first episode reveals.
Oh, right.
So what you're telling me is with my Xbox and TV in front of me right now, tone out the podcast and put on the first episode.
No.
I don't think, I honestly, Colton, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think this is going to be a show that you're going to be into.
Probably not, because I'm a stereotypical douchebag.
Yeah, and it's a very lovey-dovey, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I just caught AIDS from it.
Every episode makes you cry almost. So, like, that's literally how it works. I don't think you're going to like the show.
Yeah, no, I don't have feelings, so.
All right. So, this past week, I don't even remember what day it was. What day was that?
It was 17/38.
On the 13th, so about 3-4 days ago from when we're recording here, Fox dropped a new trailer. I'm actually going to play the trailer here for New Mutants.
Yay. Way to fill that void.
I know.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I want you to respond truthfully. Have you ever hurt someone?
Yes.
Have you ever experienced anything you'd consider abnormal?
Yes.
Last question. Do you know what mutants are?
Did you know baby rattlesnakes are more dangerous than adult ones? They haven't learned how to control how much venom they secrete. All of you are dangerous. That's why you're here. Been through a lot. Get some rest.
April 13th, that comes out. And let me tell you, I absolutely love the fact that they're completely turning the superhero genre on its head.
Yeah, I love
it. And they're like, hey, we're going to do a horror movie.
I love it.
Like, come on. Like, how great. Look, I'm not a big horror movie fan.
Oh, I'm a horror slut.
But
I'm excited.
I know you are.
This movie looks fantastic. They didn't need to make a mutant, and I still want to watch it. It looks that good.
Now, do you think it's going to get riddled with jump scares?
I hope not, because there are a few in the trailer. There are some jump scares, and I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
However, jump scares were done well in it. You know, because
there wasn't even that many jump scares.
There was enough jump scares in it that it could have been annoying if it was a horrible movie. But because the movie was so good and so well made, those jump scares actually, I think, made the movie better.
I remember when we watched that, I jumped at one. I was like, son of a bitch. And you jumped at one. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Because they were both trailers.
Yeah, exactly. They're both from the trailer and it got me off guard. It caught me and caught me off guard somehow. But Macy Williams from Game of Thrones, Fred, is in the film. She's going to be playing Wolfsbane or Wolfsbane. And then there's a bunch of other people that I don't really know who they're playing, but Charlie Heaton is going to be in this as well. And if you don't know Charlie Heaton, he's in another big horror franchise, Stranger Things. So
Speaking of that, I finally am almost caught up to that halfway through the first
season. Really? You haven't watched it?
Well, no, keep in mind, I just renewed my Netflix and Hulu subscriptions.
You do realize that the next season comes out this Friday, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to finish it before this Friday.
Okay,
well, cool. Mush.
Yeah, faster. Faster.
I probably won't go to bed.
I'm not going to get to watch it because I have a wedding to go to on Saturday. I work Friday, So by the time I get home Friday, I'm going to be able to watch maybe one or two episodes. Then I have a wedding to go to on Saturday. I'm not going to get to watch the season until Sunday, which sucks. So,
well, I mean, like, but you can binge it on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll binge the crap out of it on Sunday, just like I did the first season. The first season I watched in one day. So
same here.
I'm going on like combined, it'd be like 2 days.
Yeah, but New Mutants coming out in April. Can't wait. It's going to be the first. That's the first X-Men universe movie that comes out next year. Then we have Deadpool as well as X-Men Dark Phoenix. They all come out next year as well. Speaking of X-Men Dark Phoenix and Deadpool, they both just finished production yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever you're listening to this, this past week.
I'm a little scared about the whole Dark Phoenix thing because that is my favorite X-Men. Hopefully they don't louse it up because, yeah.
I agree. I completely agree. I'm worried that they already screwed up the Dark Phoenix one time. Hopefully they don't.
Exactly.
But we're going to actually get into that later with our discussion. So,
okay.
Did you guys see the, well, Rachel, I know you saw it. Did you see the one thing I put in the remote control this week about Stan Lee's most movie they want to react?
Oh, yeah. I did read that.
He's been saying that for years. He would love to see it for me because that's one of his favorite characters that was that was ever created. And he feels it's the most philosophical, I guess, is how he puts it. I agree. I would love to see Silver Surfer done right. I don't think he was done poorly in the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four movie. Galactus was done poorly in that movie. I just face, which I thought was horrible. But I think that I would love to see a Silver Surfer movie. I would actually really like to see that.
How would you do that?
I mean,
hold on before you start. Again, I know the Viet Cong are around, but your M16 does not need the BB Quad.
I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm trying to pay my bills while, you know, discussing and keeping the cat from jumping on the keyboard, you know. Florida life. Florida life.
Hashtag raise.
I honestly don't know how I would do a Silver Surfer movie because I'm not that versed in the Silver Surfer. Like, I can't sit here and talk about it. I know the character. I know where he comes from. I know who he is. That's about all I know.
Okay, so here we go. Movie boot. 2 weeks. Silver Surfer.
Pretty much.
Anybody have anything else on New Mutants?
Hopefully it's super new.
I'm hoping it's going to be great. I mean, I love Macy Williams. Like, I'm hoping she never dies in Game of Thrones. If you haven't watched it, I'm sorry. You know, y'all need to watch Game of Thrones.
All right. So then we had a new trailer drop this morning, which I kind of
I broke the news.
You broke the news on remote control on the website on the Facebook group, and last night they actually announced that there would be a trailer today for it. Watched it, thought it was excellent, and that's for Black Panther. I'm going to play it right now. Boom.
Oh, you mean the new Lion King live action?
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hold up. Let's go.
My son, it is your time.
Show me my respect and bow down.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
Show me my respect and bow down. We own ya. We own ya. We only getting started now. Cause we own ya. You gotta think they know me now. Cause we own ya. You are not my homie now. Cause we own ya.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over. I'ma burn it all.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
What's going on for that ever?
The revolution will not be televised.
Let's have some fun.
That comes out in February. Again, I think it looks fantastic.
I like the music.
The music's pretty bad.
The music's good, yeah.
I tell you what, Michael B. Jordan, I am so excited to see Michael B. Jordan play a villain in this movie. I think he's an excellent actor. I mean, I loved Creed. I loved, what was that, Chronicle that he was in. I love him as an actor. I think he's excellent. So to see him as a villain, I think is going to be excellent. This movie just looks so good. Like, it really does. And every time I watch a trailer, I just get more excited about it. Now, Rachel, I know you're our go-to gal when it comes to Marvel things. So what do you think completely of this trailer?
Well, as before, I said that it kind of reminds me of Lion King a little bit, because a lot of the scenes, especially the scene with the purple sky, that reminded me of when Simba was looking for answers. You know, that scene right there just kind of hit that for me. I'm sure there will be them characters. You know, Disney's been talking about a live action Lion King. Well, here it is. But no, seriously, it looks like a great movie. I'm actually a little bit more excited to see it now than I was prior when we got the little teaser. I think they did an amazing job. The visuals look great. So we'll see what happens.
It's interesting. I didn't know, again, I'm not a big, Marvel is now getting into these characters. Not that they always haven't been doing this, but they're getting into these characters that I don't know much about. Like, I grew up with DC Comics heavily. Like, I was a big Spider-Man fan growing up.
A Spooderman.
I liked Iron Man growing up, that kind of things. But those were because that's what was on the cartoon. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff I really enjoyed. So, like, Doctor Strange, I wasn't too familiar with. So when I went into that movie, I didn't know what to expect. I was disappointed with it, but you know, it was interesting to see the lore and who Doctor Strange is. The same thing
may say he's quite an odd character.
The same thing's going on with the Black Panther movie. Yeah, we saw him in Civil War.
Yes.
I thought he was one of the standout characters, but we still don't know a lot about him. And now we're starting to see a little bit more with him in this movie. And you know, I didn't know that, again, most superheroes do, but they have a villain who is basically the exact opposite of him. Now, that does worry me for the more... not the exact opposite, but Michael B. Jordan's character, he has a suit that they call, I think, the Jaguar, I think is what he's called, and it looks just like the Black Panther suit, but it's like yellowish and stuff like that. It looks badass. I have no idea how it works in the movie, because he's standing there, and it kind of just like... he changes into it. It's not like a suit that he puts on, like his body morphs into it. I was like, whoa, is he a Power Ranger? But it looks cool. Looks really cool, so I'm looking forward to that. But then again, it also does worry me a little bit, because you take a look at the Iron Man movies, you know, you look at Ant-Man. We get that with a lot of these origin stories, or the first movies with these characters. It's almost formulaic, like it's the same thing over and over again. So I'm worried that aspect, but I am excited to see a new character that I don't know about in Black Panther.
So you're more interested for the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly don't think it's going to be like the other starter movies, because we've already been introduced to the Black Panther
through
Civil War. So I feel like it's not going to be really an origin story, because we already know how he became the Black Panther.
We somewhat know how he became the Black Panther. We definitely know that it takes place after Civil War, because he talked about being the king, you know, and becoming the king, leading and so on. So
do you think we'll see any of other Avengers in the film?
I doubt it.
After Civil War, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe Captain America or...
Yeah, because that's how
Civil War... Or Black Widow or something. Yeah, because I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those two in there. I wouldn't.
I don't know if we will. I mean... I feel like it just has its own thing going on, and everybody else is kind of doing their own thing right now. I mean, you might get a glimpse of Bucky Frozen, but that's about it.
I don't know, but I mean, this cast is phenomenal. Chadwick Boseman is Black Panther. Michael B. Jordan's in it. Oh. Lupita Nyong'o, Maz Kanata's in it. Danai Gurira, who plays Michonne from Walking Dead. Forrest Whitaker, who played Saul Guerrera in Star Wars.
Oh, my God, Forrest Whitaker. I want him
Angela Bassett from... one of those TV shows. Which one is that she plays in? Is that How to Get Away with Murder? Or
you're talking to a guy that doesn't have time to watch TV.
Andy Serkis. So you have Snoke. There's a lot of Star Wars connections here.
But
Martin Freeman, who plays on Sherlock.
Shit. What was I gonna say?
Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us. So I mean, this cast is just phenomenal.
So who plays Bucky? The actor's name I can't think.
Sebastian Stan.
Yeah. Have you ever seen him? Have you seen the picture of him?
Yes, lined up with we've Luke? Seen him. Yes.
This Wait.
Time. Okay. What? Don't worry, Bob.
2.5 years ago.
Bob, don't worry. I'll be over here fucking myself. Okay.
Wait. What picture are we talking about?
Don't worry. I'm fucking myself. It's too late.
There's a picture that's out that has Sebastian Stan, and they kind of just took Mark Hamill and took his hair and his outfit.
Oh yeah.
Star Wars on him. Yeah. And it looks exactly the same. Yes. Yes, Colton, we've all seen that.
I can't tell you. Sorry. I'm over here fucking myself.
I love screwing with you.
I'm not calling you dad. I don't fucking care.
But dad, tell me about the GoBot. But Black Panther comes out February, so comic book movies are starting early this year, this coming year, man. We got February, then we got April, then we have about March, May. Who knows? There's probably a comic book movie every month next year.
Dude, speaking of... New Mutants comes out in April, right?
Yes.
We should go see it for my birthday.
Okay.
Because my birthday is April.
You don't get no birthday.
Sorry. I'm a creature that's reborn every year. I don't get
You wouldn't get no birthday.
I just become more monstrous as every year comes.
So last
They're going to be trailer folk and shrimp dogs, and you won't get to touch the blanket.
Last Monday, we had a live episode of our Star Wars Talk podcast where we sat on my couch in my apartment watching Monday Night Football. And that's all we did. Just watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking sick. The Vikings totally destroyed the Bears.
Until the Last Jedi trailer dropped. And let me tell you, it's pretty badass. If you haven't watched it, you
need to watch it. When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Let the past die. Kill it. If you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Show me my place in all this.
So, that trailer's pretty cool. Rachel, what did you think about it? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did watch it. I think it looks
badass. Your porn screech could not have been any worse time. Like, I heard you over, like, punching it in the stomach.
You're so mean.
No,
seriously, it looks amazing.
Bay was in it.
Yes.
This is going to be a little plug for Star Wars Talk this week. Comes out this Thursday.
Oh, yeah, this We're Thursday.
Be breaking down this trailer.
There's actually a couple new things, like the IMAX.
English?
posters for it that are going to be in theaters, like The Stand and everything. Huge, interesting things. I'm going to hammer you with questions, Bob.
Yeah, this week's going to be excellent for Star Wars talk. So if you love the trailer, if you want to break down the trailer with us this Thursday, we're going to have the podcast out. We're going to go scene by scene, broken down. But let me tell you, this trailer is freaking amazing.
Yeah, no, it was I ejaculated. It went back in my penis and I ejaculated again. That's how awesome.
I saw it twice, actually.
Twice? We sat there for almost 2 hours after we were done recording watching the trailer.
We watched a lot more than that. I've seen it a lot of times. Oh, it's such a good trailer. I cannot wait for it.
It's so solid. It tells you a lot, but without telling you any of the story.
Very true.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like you're sober.
So now that we've gone almost an hour into the episode, we're going to get to the core.
Oh, wait. Before we get to the core. I know we were talking about the Funko box things before. I know we don't talk about toys too often in the podcast. Do you think $25 every other month is too much?
For like a subscription box?
Yes.
I mean, it depends on what you get with it.
I don't know what comes in them, but I'm thinking.
What subscription box are you thinking about?
The Star Wars one. But then I'm also looking at like the Marvel and DC one. So like $75 every
month. I would just do like the loot crates, because whenever like something like Star Wars is coming out, they usually like jam pack it with all kinds of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, Funko has a Star Wars box that's bi-monthly.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. And I was like, oh, there's a Marvel one.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Should I?
I don't collect enough of those. Like, I have a few, but nothing crazy, so for me it wouldn't be worth it.
Or should I do the $150 a year and you know that's it?
Oh Jesus,
it's your money,
dude. Don't fucking do this.
I don't spend money like crazy, so
no,
quit it.
When you break it down, I just did the math in my head. Drunk me just did math in his head.
Oh God,
it's literally the same for the annual and bi-monthly,
probably a few dollars off.
Yeah, and but you get a free anniversary gift.
There you go.
At the annual one. Well,
there you go. Get that then.
So $450 a month or $450 a year?
Sure, why not? It's your money. Do what you want.
All right, well, here we go.
All right, so the main question of the day, like I said earlier in the episode, the beginning of the episode, is source material important when it comes to comic book films? Now, I broke this down into four sections of source material, because there's four things that people often complain about when it comes to comic book films. And these four things are costumes, the origins of the characters, the characters themselves, not just the origin, but then how the character is portrayed. And then finally, the surrounding universe, so the world that they are living in. Those are the four things I broke it down into. I want to start with costumes, because it's kind of the lowest thing on the totem pole there that we talk about. But I do want to say this. It's always hard to properly adapt a superhero costume from comic to screen. I mean, you take a look at the early iterations of certain characters like Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man back from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They were anything but practical, and they were, especially in a real-world setting. I mean, they would spandex, you know, like that's all they wore. You take a look at Adam West, you take a look at Christopher Reeve, and I don't remember who played the Spider-Man in the TV show in the 80s or 70s, whenever that was, but it just didn't look good, you know. So it was hard to make them practical. Now in the late 80s, even into the 90s, we started to see these costumes change a bit. You saw with the Batman, Tim Burton's Batman in 1989, it was not the spandex anymore. It was a hardened plastic or hardened rubber suit that he wore. And then you see going into the even into later into the 90s, you see things like Blade, you know, where he just wore leather, you know, and again, it was more comic book accurate than not, but you know, that's kind of what he did. Getting into the 2000s though, then we had the X-Men and Daredevil and the Fantastic Four films that were just god awful when it came to costumes.
Yeah.
But where we sit now, I think we've kind of found a nice area for perfect balance of practicality as faithfulness to the material. But you do still find those who complain about it. Now, what do you guys think about costumes over the years? How important is it that a character, a comic book character, have a faithful look to the comics onto screen?
Well, personally for me, I feel like the costumes, like, they are a big part of the character because that's what they're known for. Like, you know, the specific costume that you see in the comic books. But I kind of like the idea of an upgrade or adaptation to it. Like, I'm not opposed to it, but I feel like it should still have some elements of the original.
I like what you said there, Rachel. I really did. But I'm not going to be a dick about it. No, I really did like it. I think, like, if in the case that you're going to do an origin story, mm-hmm. it, like, Homecoming, for example, how his suit was basically just a hoodie.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if the origin story could be, like, how it was in the comic, like, the original, and then, like, you see the practicality and how it was, like, basic, and then it slowly advances throughout the films.
Right.
Like, you know, my mic does not want to stay straight.
That's what she said. Maybe you're just not straight.
Jesus Christ. But I'm okay with that. Like, if the origin story, the beginning, before he, like, you know, gets his rise, or the superhero gets their rise, it be that impractical, and then it just gets more practical as it goes and more advanced.
So, okay, I'm going to stick with the Spider-Man thing, but not Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm going to go back to 2002 for Sam Raimi Spider-Man, the first one.
Oh.
All right. Now, that was a very interesting thing, because in that movie, you saw Peter Parker do the hoodie thing.
Yeah.
When he went into the wrestling ring against the fake Macho Man, who was really Macho Man. Bonesaw is what his name was.
Oh, yeah.
Bonesaw.
I'll go give her one in the pink. Yeah. And
five. Oh, God.
Dink.
You need to calm down.
But when he fought Bonesaw there, he was in that hoodie outfit, you know, and then it progressed. And then he finally got this way too far advanced suit that he had in the movie, which you kind of just forgot about because it was very comic book accurate. It looked very well. Now, there are certain characters that I feel you need to have that look. And the reason why I said that, and it's kind of funny because I have these two figures sitting on my desk right in front of me that I'm about to talk about.
Which one?
Spider-Man here makes complete sense. You need to have him have the red and blue. You need him to have the spider on spider crest on his chest. The way it looks from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man to the Mark Webb Spider-Mans to the now Homecoming ones, the Marvel Spider-Mans, they all have the blue and red,
yes.
But they're all slightly different. You know, right. So the spider crest is a little bigger or smaller on them. You know, the Homecoming Spider-Man, his eyes actually were mechanical moved. His suit was all, basically it was an Iron Man suit, just Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it was. So it's very interesting how they've done, but they've kept the core, the blue and red. Now this other figure that I'm looking at on my desk is of Wolverine. And it's very interesting because when the X-Men movies came out back in 2000, Bryan Singer had a tough time to figure out how to properly costume these characters because everybody loved the late 80s, early 90s X-Men TV show. Excellent show. And people, as myself, as a child, I looked at the X-Men and I was like, those are the outfits they should be wearing. Mm-hmm. You know, especially Wolverine with his yellow and blue and black. Like, that's what he should be wearing. But we didn't see that in the movie because he made it a little more practical for real world, grounded it a little bit, because you're not going to see these people walking around in costumes all the time like you did in cartoons or comics. No, he made them, Bryan Singer made them these battle suits. These are what you get put in before you go to battle. Now, not only that, but they did change it up a little bit. They made them these leather suits that, again, the leather was kind of tough. Leather was being overdone at one point in comic book movies. However, I don't think it was bad. Yeah, I do want to see Wolverine at some point because we've still never seen him in the yellow, blue, and black. We've never seen that in a comic book movie yet. I want to see it. But again, you got to sit there and think, how practical is that? How practical is it to see that uniform or that outfit in a comic book movie? But then you go on the flip side, how practical is it to see a man in an iron suit? You know, how practical is it to see the God of Thunder coming down from Asgard? So it's all about how they create these film universes and build from there, I think, is how it works.
So before we move on here, I'm going to talk about something that's a little off track, but kind of on track.
Oh, God.
Do you think Marvel will ever get the rights to the Fantastic Four?
Don't know.
Because if so, they could make an amazing crossover with Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four. Because I just looked this up because I knew this was happening. And Spider-Man is part of the Fantastic Four for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's called the Amazing Bagman. And he is literally no shoes, got some gloves on,
you know, the blue
yeah.
Fantastic Four thing. And he has a paper bag on his head.
Yeah.
On his head. And we need to see that in a theater.
Oh, why?
So, I mean, anybody else? I mean, costumes, like I said, I think people complain too much about them.
Yeah, that's something that's so minor compared to everything
when I,
else.
I look at these films, you know, take a look at here. I'm going to talk about DC here because we just talked a lot about Marvel. Take a look.
Well,
at,
hang on. I want to say one more thing about costumes. Like,
go ahead.
Like the whole Dark Phoenix. If they are going to make another movie or whatever they're doing with it, I hope to God they do get her costume right. I did not like her one that they already did. I don't even remember which one that was because I hated the X-Men movies. But for her, because she is my favorite character, her costume should be on point. Okay.
Okay. On point. Okay.
Just so, had to get that out there.
Homecoming ended it with the alluding to like this Iron Spider suit.
Yes.
Do you think we'll see it?
He's gonna have it in Infinity War.
But do you think we'll see the mechanical spider arms come out of the back of it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be badass. Yeah,
I know we see it because in that leaked trailer that came from SDCC, San Diego Comic Con, you see it in there. So he does wear it. So
but like, do you think they'll give like the full capabilities or you think they'll save it for like Homecoming 2 or something?
Because I think he's gonna be back to his regular suit come Homecoming 2. I think he's going to use the iron suit only for
like
die,
like
die,
shit like yeah. that.
But again, I think that people, you know, they get too upset about suits. I mean, you take a look at DC and Superman, for instance. Superman, people were always talking about how Superman is this supposed to be this ray of hope, this you know, positive person at all times and everything. And you take a look at the Christopher Reeves Superman movies where his suit is very bright blue, red, and yellow. Mm-hmm. But then you get to the Zack Snyder versions of with Henry Cavill as Superman, and his suits are very dark and muted colors and dark and stuff like that. And people were like, oh, that's not our Superman. He doesn't even have his underwear on the outside, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. I think if it serves the purpose, if it serves the overarching story, and we talked about that a little bit with the Spider-Man thing, you know, this isn't his final suit. This isn't the final version that we're getting. And with these companies making these universes now and these, you know, these crazy storylines that are overarching for 3-4 movies, sometimes more, it's understandable to see different iterations of costumes and stuff like that. So I think people need to chill out. Like, yes, we all know that Bat Nipple sucked in the mid-90s, right? Nobody wanted to see bat nipples. It's something that happened, unfortunately. They regret it to this day. But they've fixed that. You know, the Christopher Nolan Batmans, they went a step further. They were like, all right, look, these Batman suits that we've made for these films that are made out of hardened rubber, he can't turn his neck, so he's limited to the movements that he can make.
Yeah.
Well, now, oh, look, we're going to make it a plot point, a story point, on him getting a new suit where he can turn his head now and have more free flowing movements. So they made the motocross suit. I called a motocross suit because it looks like a motocross suit, but that's what they did. They, you know, they made him that suit in the movie and it was practical for the film. It doesn't hold up. It's not your typical Batman from the comic suit. However, people love the movies and they don't complain about the films, you know, but then you jump to what we have now in Batman. And Batman vs. Superman had his gray suit, which is still my favorite Batman suit that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very much closer to the source material of the late 80s and especially the Dark Knight Returns comic and stuff like that. And people just, you know, they still find a reason to complain.
Rachel, I want you to know you just cost me $575.
Did you just buy
10 cents a year.
Oh, my God. I didn't think you were actually going to buy it.
Don't threaten him. He buys stuff all the time like that.
Oh, my God. Why are you such an idiot?
So.
Yeah.
So well, look, in case you don't want anything, you can save them items for giveaways.
Shh. No, I'm actually getting into, like, collecting pop figures now.
I mean, costumes, I mean, they are what they are. We've had good, we've had bad. I think people need to just sit back and understand that, look, let the filmmakers do what they're doing because we don't know. If we see one movie with a costume looking one way, it may change later on.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's what we're seeing more now. you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it wasn't so much that. It was just like, all right, we need to be cost efficient. We need to ground it and make it look more realistic.
Yeah.
But nowadays they're like, look, we're going to stay more true, but we're not going to be completely true to it.
So that's because back in the day, they weren't like already, like there wasn't already the foundation that they're going to be instant, you know, 60 yeah. million. They still had to like prove.
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, we can basically do whatever we want. We're going to make money.
They weren't $600 million movies yet. They were still.
We're going to make whatever we want.
All right. So the next point is origins. So the origin of characters. Now, I'm going to put this out here real quick. In my opinion, staying faithful to an origin story should be the easiest way to honor a comic as a film or on film. It should be the easiest. However, we see time and time again stories changing. The problem with this is there are many iterations in comics already. And while you may see one origin story as truth, others may not. And honestly, why should the writers be handcuffed to an idea that has already been seen and read by so many? So changes here and there, when handled well, I think are great. And with that said, I'm going to say, and these are two DC comics, but look at Man of Steel and Batman Begins. They took the idea of how Superman and Batman were created and it became who they were, and they changed them slightly, just slightly, not crazy. Batman Begins is very truthful to how Bruce Wayne becomes Batman, you know, his parents die and everything like that. But his journey to becoming Batman was slightly different than what we've seen in the past. Man of Steel, same thing, you know, the same idea of coming to planet Earth, being sent by his father when their planet is you know, on the verge of destruction. And he gets to Earth. But once he gets to Earth, his development from that point on is very different than we've seen in the comics and in the past. Yet it fits the narrative of what the overarching story is. So can you guys think of any origins that you felt were different or exactly like they were in the comics that you really liked or vice versa?
I'm going to stick with Homecoming. Because Homecoming did Spider-Man's origin right.
It wasn't kind really of origin. You don't really find out the origin too much.
Well, he doesn't really get bit by a radioactive spider either. Not in Homecoming.
No, because that already happened prior.
Yeah. Excuse me. But, like, he has the supplement tank, so. You know what I mean?
Well, see, that's that, and that was going to get into the next point, but with the origins here. Rachel, I'll let you go. What did you want to say, Rachel?
Sorry, I jumped the gun. I didn't know.
No, I think like the only really one that I loved the most was the first Iron Man. I feel like that kept pretty close to the origin from beginning. But I know like there's also a good thing whenever they change up the origin. Like for instance, like anime and manga, you know, like the manga comes out first and then the original writers of the mangas, they kind of like help. Like Sailor Moon, for instance, every piece of Sailor Moon that you watch, like the original 90s is different than the manga. The new Crystal one follows the manga pretty well, but yeah, it's still a little different. So like I kind of like there being more, you know, instead of just one story, I kind of like others, because then it kind of, it's like an adaptation. It's the writer's ideas and thoughts. It gives you something different, you know.
Well, on the topic of manga then,
don't talk about Death Note, please.
What about GT?
We're not getting into this right now. We're not talking about manga to anime. We're not doing that, Colton. This is
right.
This is about
it was just an example.
Because to some people, because you shared this in the group and you put Goku as one of your superheroes.
Yes.
That is still relevant to the conversation.
We're talking about origins right now.
Okay.
GT has nothing to do with origin.
No, it does.
No, it has.
Because Goku gets reverted back to a kid. It has everything to do with the
MVP. Oh my God. It has nothing to do with it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, we'll wait till we're fucking done. We're discussing GT.
Oh, please, no. That was just terrible.
With origin, exactly. With origin.
Fuck you guys. I like it.
I think
what's wrong with this country.
Personally, I think that the origin stories might be the most important aspect when you're converting from comic book to screen, because origin stories are almost always, this is why this character is how they are. So you do see these movies, they take the origin and they run with it, and they usually stick very close to the origin as they possibly can, but they always want to put a little spin onto it. They want to do a little something a little different to stand out, you know, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I try to tell people. Correctly. If it's done well, it's okay to go off of it. You know, Batman's parents die. If you get that aspect, the moment where Bruce Wayne sees his parents die, after that point, however you get to him being Batman, yeah, I'm all for seeing changing, you know, because that's fine with me.
Isn't that Gotham story, basically?
Essentially, yeah. Gotham on TV, you know, you're seeing him go through a similar transition that we've seen in the comics, but it's also not very different. Yeah, it's not exact. And that's fine. You know, the first episode of Gotham, you see his parents killed in front of him. And now he's starting to become the Dark Knight. And you kind of like that journey has been different. He didn't go and seek out Ra's al Ghul and get trained by him. No, he's been doing a lot of detective work and teaching himself and training with his butler Alfred and stuff like that. Whereas if you look at Batman Begins, you know, his parents are killed. He struggles with it for his you know, teen years. As he becomes a young adult, he then runs off, finds out about this Ra's al Ghul, goes and seeks him out, trains by him. So the origins are different in Batman there, but still good.
Yeah.
Still enjoyable. And, you know, Iron Man, excellent example of staying very truthful to the comics, at least from what I remember. It is, you know, I mean, I think they changed up the group that actually did this to him in the Middle East. I think, wasn't it the Six Rings? Is that what it's called?
It's Lord of the Rings.
What? The Ten Rings? Is that what it's called?
Oh my God, yeah. Frodo. But how could he?
But I mean, you know, I think they changed that up slightly in the movie.
It's still the Ten Rings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is.
It still is, yes. Because if you remember the third Iron Man, the Ten Rings are behind him. And then if you look back to the first Iron Man, they're there.
Yeah, then you're like, holy shit.
But they don't mention it in the movie. That's what it is. But again, it worked. It worked out really well because they stayed very true to it. But, you know, now getting to the characters themselves and how the characters are portrayed in the films. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the last 2 years that Batman vs. Superman did not portray Batman right. And it's funny because I wrote this before you posted that in the group, Rachel. I literally wrote this whole episode out the other day and had this idea. So it's funny that you posted who was the better Batman in that group. We're having a fight in between some people with who the better Batman was, Bale or Affleck. And I think that Affleck was done perfectly. He portrayed perfectly, and not because he stayed truthful to the comics, which I think in many regards he did, but most importantly, Affleck and director Zack Snyder had a story and portrayal in mind for the movie. Mm-hmm. Had Affleck not met those expectations of that vision, he would have been asked to adjust his acting. So in all actuality, Batman was portrayed as the creative team of the film wanted him to be portrayed. So many people get in their head, though, that if it's not exactly what you see on paper in the comics,
then that's not what you get.
Yeah, then it's not right. Okay. And I think that's the big problem. Like, you take a character, and I'm going to jump back to Marvel now with Iron Man. Iron Man is not portrayed exactly as Tony Stark and Iron Man are portrayed in the comics. He's not. I'm not saying it's bad. I love RDJ as Tony Stark and Iron Man, but he's not exactly how he's portrayed in the comics. He's a raging alcoholic in the comics.
Kind of an alcoholic in the movies, but you don't really see it as much.
In the first two movies, you see him drink, I think, two drinks total.
They really don't go into it like they should, but you kind of get that hint, especially in the second movie, whenever he's dealing with the arc reactor affecting his body.
Yeah, but then again, you could sit there and say, oh, he's just stressed out, and a lot of people drink when they're stressed out. Cool. They don't go into the aspect of him being an alcoholic, which is a huge aspect of his character in the comics. So while, yes, I love the way that they portray him on screen, it's not true to the character. And then you have all these fanboys and fangirls who absolutely love the way Tony Stark is in the movies, yet they don't like how Batman is in Batman versus Superman, because they then say he's not like he is in the comics. And it's just aggravating to me, because it's like, you can't have both. Like, you know, let them be creative, let them make a character and make it their own. Christian Bale is the farthest thing from the comic book accurate, the farthest thing, and people love him. It baffles my mind.
Ben Affleck was the night, Christian Bale was the day.
I mean, Christian Bale did a good job. I enjoyed him, but he was nowhere near being the greatest detective ever. You know, look at Spider-Man. I think Tobey Maguire did an excellent job as Spider-Man, but I thought he did a terrible Peter Parker. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't buy it completely with him. I like him as it, you know, but I didn't buy him as, but I grew up with the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. So that's what I wanted to see.
And then you saw like Spider-Man 3 and his like really bad.
And then his emo Spider-Man, which was terrible. Andrew Garfield was even worse as Peter Parker because he became Andrew Garfield became the skater boy who was like, who if I went to high school with the kid, he would have been one of the popular kids in my school, you know, but all of a sudden he's not popular, but he rides a skateboard. So he must be cool. Yeah. Like, whatever. Who cares? It's ridiculous.
They're reaching for the wrong generation.
Now, Tom Holland, I think, is doing an excellent job on both parts as Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Now, going back to Andrew Garfield, I think he played an excellent Spider-Man. I thought he was perfect. Like all his quippiness and stuff like that, I thought worked out really well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but you got to sit there and say like these movies don't suck if they're not portrayed exactly like they are in the comic book, because one, we've seen it already. Why do we want to see the same thing over and over again on comic as well as screen? Let these actors and actresses and directors be creative. You know, what do you guys think? Who do you think? Give me some of your favorite portrayals of characters, and can't use Tony Stark and RDJ there.
Why?
No, I like Affleck as Batman. He's the best Batman I've seen so far. Rah. And I've only seen, you know, Christian Bale.
You never watched the older ones?
Look, I don't even have time to sleep, my guy.
So when you watch
them. I would love to, but I write, so.
Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yes, you beat me to that one. I was just going to say that.
Here's a crazy thing. When they cast Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, people are like, he's too tall. He's too tall. He can't do it.
That
he
has
he
won't fucking do it. Nothing to do with anything.
Right. And,
you know, he was too tall, but did you see him portray the character? You know, I mean, he 17 years, fantastic job.
Oh, fuck, I can't think of his name.
Heath Ledger is the Joker. Again, fantastic. People love Heath Ledger as the Joker. But let me tell you this, that is not
the Joker
a true adaptation of the Joker from the comics. So when
an adaptation is just... It's not supposed to be the same exact thing. It's just supposed to be somebody else's.
That's why I said a true adaptation being you know, true to the source material. Whereas, you know, but the people, that's the thing. This is what angers me. Is there's so many people that complain about the idea that everything needs to be just like the comic for it to be successful. You know, just because Marvel has done a good job in utilizing and taking things from the page and changing it just slightly for the screen, people are like, oh, you have to do it that way.
Right.
You look at different things. You look at the X-Men and Wolverine. You know, he played the character very well, but one, he became a Canadian and wasn't Australian anymore. And you know, like all these different things about his character were changed. You take a look at Heath Ledger and his Joker, completely changed. People love him. People love the Wolverine. But then you go and take something like Batman and you make him start killing people because it's part of his story arc and him becoming something different, and people start to freak. Batman never killed. Rah rah rah. Like, watch the damn movie, and
you'll understand.
And get into what's going on here. You know, understand the character development and the way that they're writing this big story arc. People don't understand, especially in the DCEU. These last three movies of Man of Steel, BVS, and Justice League are one overarching story.
Yes.
So you know, there's character development.
And would you even there. Would you even essentially say Justice League?
Yeah, it is. It's part of it. So I think that's the whole idea. That's what I'm trying to get into is, you know, when it comes to characters themselves, let these people, let the directors and actors just let them.
I think it falls victim to too many people trying to jump the gun and not waiting to watch it unfold.
True. Mm. Yeah. I mean, people were against Affleck as Batman from the day that they announced he was playing Batman.
And he's done a damn good job.
Yeah.
So far.
Anything else on characters and the way that they're portrayed? You didn't really say anybody that you really like or dislike as character there, Rachel. I know we all know Tony Stark, RDJ.
I think they did a good job of Bucky, to be honest. I think like he's my favorite currently in the MCU. Sebastian Stan just does an amazing job.
And you think he's hot.
Yeah, that too. That's brownie points right there.
All right, now the surrounding universe. Now this is the big thing, because when you build a comic book. Now I'm not going to sit here and
you
say
don't
I'm
build a comic book. You write a comic
I'm
book.
I'm not going to say that I'm a comic book writer, but I do write. I am a writer. I do like to write.
Yeah, high Woo! Five for writing. All right. Yeah, no, that was.
Where's my high five?
Come to PA.
I don't wanna. I have an ocean.
Come to Pete.
Now, whether it's the loose similarities of the real world cities of Marvel or the made up cities of DC, there really is no right or wrong way to create a world around these characters. There are absolutely certain aspects of the world that we want to see, and almost all directors and filmmakers have hit perfectly within the films. But the vision is that of the filmmaker, not yours, not the creator of the comics, but these writers, these producers and directors. They have been given a toy box full of these characters. And for all we know, they're told to do as they please with very few guidelines. And that's the big thing when it comes to these universes. Like, you take a look at the Marvel Universe, for instance. You know, yes, they utilize the real world cities of New York City and LA and stuff like that. But it's not the real world city. There's, you know, yes, while it is New York, it's not exactly New York. Yeah. You take a look at DC, you know, yeah, they have Gotham, they have Metropolis. These are made up cities. You know, they have Themyscira and stuff like that. They have these made up cities and areas. And while they stay truthful, Gotham is the dark, you know, beaten down town, and Metropolis is the city of the future. They take those ideas and use them in the movies, but the way they're portrayed is different in every iteration. You take a look at 1989's Batman, that Gotham was very like noir and very old and stuff like that. And then you take a look at Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, the Dark Knight trilogy, and Gotham was modern day cities of Chicago and Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh, you know. And you take a look now at Gotham, what it looks like now, and you know, again, they're getting back to that darker tone of like maybe otherworldly type of world, but it's very dark and gloomy. People complain about that stuff, and I don't get it. Like, you keep true to some of the aspects of it, but allow the filmmakers, once again, just allow the filmmakers to make and show their vision.
Yeah. Cool. No, so. I think that was more of an agreement.
Yeah, I think we all agree.
I agree.
Like, I don't want to see any, you know, cookie cutter movie. Shut up, man. Like,
I don't know. What are you? You just started talking and then stopped talking.
Yeah,
and
my brain stopped. I'm sorry.
But I mean, look, I take a look at this and the importance of source material to comic book films. There's certain aspects that are important. You don't have to create a world exactly as it is in a comic book, because if you do that, what's the point of watching it? You know, your mind when reading something can always make something better
exactly
than what you're going to see on screen. You know, your imagination is the greatest tool that you have. So when you read a book,
next
to
a machete,
when you read a comic book or just even a novel or something like that, you get the pictures and ideas in your head, and then what you see on TV or on film is never going to meet that or match that. So a lot of people need to just learn that and understand that and realize, look, they're going to have their own vision. They're going to have their own idea of how things and how characters are going to develop, on where they come from, on the world that they're in. And that's the whole point of being a filmmaker. You know, these directors and writers don't go to Hollywood to say, you know, I want to just remake Batman The Dark Knight Returns word for word, scene for scene, and go from there. That's not what they really
and had 15 minutes on at the end.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was there is one currently, I don't know if it hit theaters. I know they did a premiere for it, but the Tokyo Ghoul, the new movie that just came out, it follows the first season pretty much word for word, but live action.
There's some but want to do that. But most filmmakers have a vision. You know, most filmmakers an idea of doing like, oh, I love this idea of Spider-Man, but imagine if he was this. You know, I look at Spider-Man, for instance. I'm going to jump back on here real quick, but he had electronic web shooters in the comics, and then in the Sam Raimi ones, he had ones that were actually part of him. You know, like he was becoming a spider. He had organic web shooters.
Yeah.
You know, so they changed things slightly because the directors, the writers, they have like, wouldn't this be cool? Let's see how it does. And that's what they do. And the comic book fans, and this actually leads into what next week's segment is going to be about. Next week's big discussion is actually going to ask this question here. All right, enough.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
He's like a little kid.
Next week's discussion is fandom destroying pulp culture?
Never.
You know, I mean, that is a good question to ask because we just went over this. Is source material important for comic book films? Fans freak out about comic book films when they're not done right. So is it destroying pulp culture? And that's going to be the discussion next week for our podcast. So hopefully you all listen in to that podcast next week. I also want to say after that, we're 4 weeks out, from Justice League releasing. So the 3 weeks leading up to Justice League, each episode of the Remote Control is going to be us sitting down watching Wonder Woman,
Man of Steel,
and
BVS,
and Batman vs. Superman leading up to it. And we're going to sit there, commentate it, talk about it, just have a good time. I may have a guest on one or two or even all three of the episodes.
Don't worry. I'll be the main guest.
Cool. Yeah. All three. But we're going to sit down, just watch them, talk about them, enjoy these films, and just really get into the universe and talk all things DC. So if you're a big DC fan, going to be DC heavy leading up to Justice League. But then after Justice League, gears are going to shift because we're going to be starting to get on the Star Wars train. And then it's going to get right into the Marvel train for Black Panther and everything like that. So,
yeah, that's Rachel, what's coming up. Are you going to be around for the Marvel train?
Y'all.
I'll be around for the Star Wars train. That the fuck train immediately leaves station afterwards.
I definitely want to be there for the fandom thing because I'm a huge fan of fandoms and things.
Question mark. Again, next week. Want to be on our show next week? Well, yeah. Same time, same place, same channel. Now, again,
maybe different drunk people.
We do want to start a mailbag segment on every episode. So we want people to write in asking us questions, you know, talking about anything that you love. If you want us to talk about something, write into us. And that's theremotecontrol@gmail.com, theremotecntrol@gmail.com. That's where you can reach us there. And like I said, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, go to our website, www.theremotecontrol.com. All of that stuff will be in the description below. And don't forget to subscribe and then review and join our Facebook group to get a chance to win that our Justice Superman. League Superman pop figure. Again, we will be giving that away on November 14th episode. So please subscribe, review, and join the Facebook group. All right. Do you guys have anything else to say? This was actually a lot of fun. I like this episode.
I'm watching a video of Bay right now.
Oh, God. So I really thought you meant they were going to write in like an actual letter. I was going to be like, wait a minute. Nobody fucking writes letters anymore.
Yeah, no. Write us in a letter. We'll give you
what is it, like 60 cents for a stamp now or something?
It's crazy. Not even that bad.
Is it?
I bought 20 stamps for like $5 yesterday or the other day. I don't know how much that breaks down to.
Math.
I'm too drunk for this.
Math.
No, but Daisy Ridley, man, please, if you listen to this by an off chance, like, hit me up.
If only, right? If only.
Oh, my God. Please.
Well, I've been Robert Slavinsky from The Remote Control. With me, I had guest Colton Bird.
Yo, guest?
All right, co-host.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
And guest Rachel Kasparek.
Ow.
That's where you talk. There you go.
That was her brain was like, nope. And that was it.
Alert.
I was like, do I wait a few more seconds? Oh, okay, I can go now.
But all right, thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in. And we will talk to you all next week.